Set your spirit on fire and let Dr. Luana Steins guide you to a life of purpose and fulfillment. To reach Dr. Luana Steins, call 760-315-1967 or visit atouchfromabove.org. And now here's your A Touch From Above host, Dr. Luana Steins.
God bless you. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God is so awesome. I'm Dr. Luana, and this is A Touch From Above. Hallelujah. Our God is good, awesome, and amazing. Well, I am so excited about today and tomorrow, and I'll tell you why in just a moment, because I have a wonderful guest here, a good friend, and believe it or not, one of our head ushers and elder of our church here with us today. His name is Daniel R.C., and I wanted him here because of several reasons. Number one, to share about his powerful testimony. You know, the Bible says that they took the land by the blood of the Lamb and the power of their testimony. And a lot of times we think that our testimony doesn't make impact, but let me tell you something. Your testimony makes impact. And what it does is it tells the whole wide world that Jesus still saves souls. Amen? Amen. One other thing. In our ministry, one of our goals is to do Christian movies because our stories are for God's glory. And I can't wait until we write a script for Daniel's. It's probably going to be more than one movie because there is so many things. And I tell him, I said, Daniel, we got to write a book about your life. My goodness. But anyway, let me introduce to you Daniel R.C. Daniel, would you like to say hello to everybody?
Hello to all the listeners out there.
Amen. Well, Daniel, I guess we should probably start a little bit to share your testimony. Your family is a big family. Share a little bit about your how many siblings in your family and how, little by little, how that road started.
All right. So I have five brothers and two sisters and two loving parents. I began experimenting with drugs when I got to seventh grade. I started out sniffing glue, huffing paint. We used to smoke this stuff called SHRM. It was embalming fluid that they would put in dead people.
Oh, my god!
We used to get cigarettes and dip them in the chemicals and smoke them, and it would cause you to be staggering around like a zombie. And we used to stagger around all through the night through the alleys, thinking like the world was coming to an end.
Out of your mind, really?
Out of our minds, yes.
Wow. So in seventh grade, it started off. What about your brothers? I mean, were you ever in gangs? What happened with that?
Yes, around the seventh grade, me and a few guys, we started a gang. And it quickly grew in numbers. And this was a very violent time back then. Gang banging was everywhere, like neighborhoods against neighborhoods. There was a lot of house parties. And we used to crash the neighborhood parties because we felt we had that right. You know, since that was our hood.
Yeah.
And as a result of that, it used to cause a lot of altercations, like, who are these guys, you know, at our party? You know, they just come and invite themselves, and we'd end up fighting with the people. And then when we'd clash with the other gangs, you know, they would shoot at us. We would shoot at them. It seemed like every week there was somebody getting stabbed or shot.
Wow, you know? It's a miracle you didn't get killed during that time.
I'm telling you, even my mother's house got shot up one time. We had bullet holes in my father's SUV, his Suburban.
Oh, my goodness.
And my mother was so worried because she never knew, like, if I was going to come home or not, you know? And that's when she told me she would, like, constantly pray for me. So, mothers, if you're out there, there's power in prayer, and pray to God without ceasing. Amen. You know, it took a while and a long journey to finally surrender to Christ. But when I did, it was the best choice in my life, you know.
Amen. That's touching me, Daniel.
Yeah.
Daniel has an amazing mom, and Daniel's life where the gangs, but then the drugs went really crazy in his life. And share how one drug just kind of led to another. So people think Daniel, young people may be listening, or maybe moms may be listening today, and they think that their son, oh, well, it's just pot. They're just smoking pot. It's legal. What do you want to tell them?
Man, well, first of all, weed is a gateway to other drugs. You know, my friend's dad, he was a heroin addict, and he used to give my friend Ramon big old garbage bags of weed, right? And we would just sit there and roll joints so he could sell them at high school. But from there, we started experimenting, like with the PCP, the embalming fluid, the sherm sticks, you know. You got to remember, we were broke little kids back then, you know, coming out of sixth grade to seventh. So that's when we were huffing the glue and spray paint, you know. And I remember I used to come home with one sock on, and my mom would be like, where's your socks going, you know? How do you end up with one sock on, you know?
And you probably didn't even know.
Yeah, we were just so high, you know, like, and then one drug leads to another, and next thing you know, my friends are trying heroin. And I remember at that time, my brother had warned me, like, you're at that age where your friends are going to start doing heroin. Don't do it. And it's crazy because I had just tried it the week before.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But see, I was the type of person, I didn't like downers. I liked uppers. So by then I was like also snorting Black Beauty pills, you know. And just trying anything, you know, it was like experimenting.
So do you think like Satan had prepared like a web? Like, you know, the Bible says that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You think Satan was starting to really just set that trap up for you?
Definitely. Satan had been trying to kill me from a young age, you know. I almost drowned when I was little, you know, and I almost drowned to death because I felt my head like it was in a vice. You know, and if it wasn't for my brother, he's my hero. He jumped in. Well, he noticed, first of all, I was under the water, like squirming around, drowning. I was already starting to float, and I just seen a black dot, and that's when he jumped in and saved me.
Wow.
You know, so Satan had been trying to get me from a young age. And then when I told you, I almost, if I would have rode in those diesel trucks that day.
Yeah, that was powerful.
They went head on and blew up and the boat drivers died, I would have been in one of those trucks.
Let me share that story really quick. Daniel used to skip school, and when he used to skip school, he used to go over there by where they were building, what bridge was that?
805 freeway.
The 805 freeway. So these big old truckers would go by, and of course, Daniel could have been kidnapped and killed and raped and murdered. And he, you know how the kids go, they move their fist up and down.
Yeah, beep, honk, beep, the horn.
Beep, honk the horn. And some trucker used to pick him up and give him rides in his old truck. And one day, Daniel's brother found out he was skipping school and snatched him up. And thank God, because then what happened to that truck there, Daniel?
Well, that day I was playing on the playground and we heard this big old explosion. And I looked up, and all I seen was a ball of fire. Well, something happened with the flagman that day because only one truck had room to pass through. So apparently he didn't stop the other truck, and they used to come flying down the road.
Oh, Jesus.
And one was empty, and one was full of dirt. And they just went head on and exploded. And I would have been riding in that truck that day because when all the debris flew in the air, our school was right next to the freeway. Altoyan, and a piece of that green truck, and that's how I knew it was the truck I used to ride in, because it was green with a white stripe, landed like right there.
Wow, talk about a wake up call.
And I knew in my heart that was the dude I used to ride with, man. And
did he end up dying?
They both died. They burned to death.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my goodness.
I would have been in there.
So the devil tried to set you up from the beginning. So now, Daniel, now here you are. You're addicted to drugs, and now it's turned over to heroin, and now you're on meth.
Well, the meth came a little while after that because my brothers had noticed that I was going the wrong way, right? And they told me, man, you keep hanging around with those guys, you're going to either end up dead or in prison, right? So they were in the lowriders and fixing their cars and cruising and going to the beach and cruising the boulevard and all that. So they started inviting me to go with them, right? And so I wish I could tell you that's when I quit doing drugs, experimenting. But little did I know that my sister's boyfriend was going to introduce me to meth, which is the main entrance to hell. You see, I quickly became addicted, and from that point on, that was my drug of choice.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, and later on, a so-called friend of mine came over one day, and he introduced me to smoking meth.
Mm.
And I knew right then that was my drug of choice, and I was hooked on it bad.
So when people say, well, I can let it alone, and I won't get addicted, what do you want to tell them, Daniel?
It's a lie. You won't. That drug is so powerful. I mean, even when I would go to, I eventually started getting in trouble and going to jail, in and out of jail. You know, I wouldn't do drugs in jail because I didn't want to owe people. I didn't want to get caught up and get yourself in a wreck, you know. So the addiction would wait patiently until you got out, right? Till you had your freedom back. And I would get off probation, and it was just a matter of time. I would run into somebody, and there I go, back on it.
So how long were you on probation? How many different times were you on probation?
I was on probation a few times, you see, because I would get like 3 months and then 6 months, and then gradually next
thing. Was this in detention center, or was this in jail?
This was in San Diego County jails.
By this time, you were 18.
Yes.
You were of age. So
yeah.
Here you are starting off at seventh grade, mm-hmm. and now here you are over 18, and now you're in county jail, in and out. How many times in and out of county jail?
I would say like at least 3 in the county and then 3 times in prison.
You want to share what happened finally with that when you ended up in prison? How did you end up in prison?
Well, at that time, I had ended up... if you fast forward, like me and my kid's mom, we had split up. So I started bouncing around from house to house. You know, your friends will welcome you in as long as you have drugs. But as soon as you run out, they, you know, doors close on you. And next thing you know, you're out in the cold, walking around all night. You know, before you knew it, you were in filthy rags. You know, you hadn't bathed and all that. Well, one day I saw a friend of mine, Gina from the block. And she said, she could tell that I was doing bad, right? And she said, you know, she asked me and my friend, she said, what's your guys' hustle? And we look at each other like, we ain't got no hustle. I mean, we're all in filthy rags, all broke, you know. Well, she said, come follow me. And she took out these keys. And I didn't know at the time they were like master keys. So she taught us how to steal cars.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she told us, like, you guys don't need to be broke, man. Look, we'll go make some copies of these keys. And you know what? Get them. Get what's in them. Sell them. And like, take care of yourselves. Well, that started a whole new crime spree. And before you knew it, we're getting caught in stolen cars. So, you know, they would give you 3 months and then 6 months and then another 6 months. Just your last chance. You do it again, you're going to prison. Well, next thing you know, you get caught again, you're going to prison. And it just kept repeating itself. But I went to church sometimes just to go, but I never really got rooted and grounded. So that desire, the Lord hadn't taken that desire to use drugs away from me. And this is why every time I'd end up relapsing, you know. I even tried NA, support systems, you know, support groups.
And but you still had that want.
I had that desire in me to use. You know, it would just sit back there patiently for the right moment and
Catch you in that trap. Drugs
are no good. If you're out there listening and you're thinking about doing them or you already have, man, quit while you're ahead. Because I thought I was never going to get old. You know, you think in your mind, I'm forever young, you know. You know, you can handle it. No, man, it's going to cause you to lose your job. I lost some good paying jobs, you know, due to my addiction. I lost a lot of good relationships, you know, and It separated me from my family and my kids, you know. I was either too high or not high enough to go to family parties, birthday parties, you know, special times that you should be sharing with your family, you know, your loved ones, or going to visit your kids and taking them to the park. You know, I was so wretched that I was embarrassed to go see my kids because I didn't have money. And I felt like I'd have to bring them something every time I'd come. You know what my kids would tell me when I would get there, finally, when I would go see them? Their little faces would light up and they'd say, "Dad, Dad, where you been?"
Oh, my God.
And they would cling to me, right? And they would tell me, "You don't have to bring me nothing. Just come see us. Spend time with us." And, man, it would break my heart. I would leave out of there feeling like such a lowlife, you know? The pain I was causing them because of my greedy addiction. All I cared about was what I wanted, you know. I got to get high. I got to get high. You know, when I placed my hope in the dope, like when I was high, I feel like everything's going to work itself out. And it didn't, man. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy you and everything you love. And that's what he was doing through that addiction, you know.
Wow. 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 That is, that's a wake-up call, listener. You know, that's a wake-up call. Daniel ended up homeless. Share with how you were freezing and homeless and looking for a place to sleep. And
well, I remember one day I was at a friend's house, right? And this is crazy because before that, I had taken some drugs to somebody to sell. And I had my friend's digital scale, right? Well, the deal didn't go through because the guy I got it from gave me some bunk dope. So the guy ended up flushing it down the toilet, right? So I ended up owing the guy that I got those drugs from. And I still had his digital scale while I'm at a so-called friend's house one day. And this guy goes in there to collect, right? I guess he was looking for me because he wanted that scale back. And he pulls out a gun, right? And you know what my so-called friend says? "Don't shoot him in here. Take him in the alley and shoot him."
Oh, my goodness.
And the guys, and I stood up at that time and I said, "You know what? If you got it in you, shoot me." And I faced the wall and I thought I was going to get shot. And he said, "No, man, I'm just here for Bethel's scale." And so, you know, I ended up giving him a scale and the guy left. And I told my friend, "Wow, thanks a lot, man. Some good friend you are." You know?
Yeah, don't get my carpet dirty. Yeah, do it outside.
Yes. So what was that question you had asked me?
About how you ended up homeless.
Yeah, so after that, I left, right? That's right. So I ended up leaving that day, and it started raining. It was, I think, around Christmas time, and it was, man, I was feeling so depressed and just lost. I was questioning myself, why was I even born? Like, what I do to deserve this, you know? I'm like smelling and just grimy, right? And it started pouring rain, and I used to walk around all night long because I didn't want to sleep anywhere because in fear, you know, you could get attacked or, you know, killed, you know, if you're sleeping. Well, I came across a house that nobody lived in, and there was a car cover on the porch. And I was shaking. I was freezing. I was like a wet food stamp just around. And I saw that car cover, and I just balled up on the porch, and I was just shaking like it was horrible, man. That's a place I never want to go back to, you know?
Wow, wow, wow. You're listening today, and maybe you have children, or maybe you're addicted to drugs. You know, the Bible tells us very clearly that Jesus came to set the captives free. And Proverbs chapter 2 says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure," well, the greatest hidden treasure is salvation. Well, Daniel went through all of that, broken, hurting his family, hurting his mother, hurting his father. Daniel, did your father ever just break down into tears when you were in that mess?
My dad was very strict, right? He hated drugs, you know. And my dad, he loved us so much, he wouldn't hesitate to whip us, right?
Exactly.
But that's because he cared. He did it out of love, you know, nothing else. And I was a bad kid, you know. I was always getting into something, man. I was worse than Dennis the Menace, right? And I remember one day my dad would whip us, you know. And one day he just told me, you know what, Daniel? I'm tired, man. I'm not going to whip you no more. From now on, you're going to have to learn the hard way. And he never whipped me again, right?
Oh, my goodness.
And shout out to my dad, because he got saved on his 82nd birthday.
Yay.
And praise God, my brother Mario led him to Christ, you know.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we have a couple more minutes here, but let me read to you in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Daniel, we're going to share a little bit again tomorrow, but right now I want you to share how suddenly you're at the court and bam, you get a term of, go ahead.
All right. So I ended up getting arrested and I was charged with two hit and runs, two great bodily injuries, a 211, a residential burglary, and a discharging of a firearm.
Oh, Jesus.
So I ended up going through two trials. And the first time I got a mistrial, and, you know, I would say I got too big-headed, you know, in Christ. Like, I thought God was going to set me free.
Because let's go back to when, okay, so now let's say you're in prison, mm-hmm. you're in prison, so this is a different trial, but you're already in prison, mm-hmm. so we got to get to that place really quick where you get saved before we end this program, and you got to go quick.
Okay, so I was in the county jail, man. I had all the weight of the world crashing down on me. I was filled with the shame and just disgust in myself of what I become. And one day my two Sallies went out to yard, so I had some one-on-one time with God, and I just felt the weight of the road crashing down on me, right? And I got on my knees, and I cried out to God, and I said, God, use me for your glory. I'm tired. I surrender, right? Can I tell you, I felt the weight just lift off of me, right? I went from heaviness and crying tears of despair to crying tears of joy. I jumped up like a gazelle and I was jumping up around because I felt the Spirit of God tell me that everything was going to be all right. And I said, God, use me for your glory from this point on. And I felt the Spirit tell me that everything was going to be all right. And you know what? It has been.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're listening to the story. My guest today is Daniel Arce, and he is now an usher, an elder of A Touch from Above Ministries. And he did time in prison. He did drugs. And we're so excited to see Daniel. Daniel's been a part of our ministry for, oh my goodness, 4 or 5 years almost. And it's just been amazing. More than that, 3, 4, 5, almost 6 years of our ministry. Wow.
Wow.
And it's so awesome because we're going to share how he ended up coming to our ministry and what God did. And you're listening to my program today and you're broken. There's some of you that are still bound. There's some of you that are playing around with crystal meth. There's some of you that are playing around with heroin. Some of you are saying, well, pot is okay. It's legal. You know what? You don't even want to go down that road. I want to share with you right now, you need Jesus right now. Pray with me. Jesus, please forgive me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Be my rock and my refuge. Father, deliver me from the stupidity of my own self, Lord. Cover me in your precious blood, Lord. I'm sorry. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my addiction. Forgive me of my own way. Father, I'm so sorry. And I receive the cross of Calvary. I receive salvation. I know that you died on the cross. And Lord, I need salvation and I need your freedom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Stay tuned for tomorrow for part two. Daniel's going to continue on and share a little bit more. He's also a powerful preacher, and God has used him since that time. And one more thing, he's going to be speaking at our conference. We have a conference every single June. Log on to our website, atouchfromabove.org. Go to our website and look it up. We have a conference. It's absolutely free. I'd love for you to be there. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Luana Steins. Have you read her book, A Mother's Story? It's a must read, a heart-gripping true story, a murdered husband, a single mother, and a fight with cancer. For your support of any amount, you'll receive her book. Send your support to A Touch from Above, P.O. Box 2800, Ramona, California 92065, or give online at atouchfromabove.com. www.thebabyshower.org. Come quickly to
my rescue. Are you distracted? Seems like everything gets in the way. Come to A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain, 25 beautiful acres. Walk up to the cross or relax in a small private cabin to pray. Bring your leaders to pray. At Prayer Mountain, God answers prayer. Even Jesus had to get away to pray. Call today and make your reservation, 760-315-1967. Your answer is just a prayer away. atouchfromabove.org. Like the ravages of a flood, but I call on the name of Jesus and the power of his blood. I have victory over Satan.
Are you discouraged, not seeing the power of God moving in the church? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is powerful. His word is living. His healing is of today. Come join us at A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain. Dr. Luana preaches every Sunday, 10 a.m. A Touch From Above Prayer Mountain is located at 16145 Highway 67, Ramona, California, 92065. Come and experience the power of God. Oh,